really of questioning. Like, what are the practices we're involved in on a daily basis that involve questions? For me, I have two practices. One is the practice of research, which has a particular relation to a question, the research question. And the other is the practice, the daily practice of psychoanalysis as a clinical practice. When thinking about research questions, you know, there's often an urgency. Like, I might talk to my students about trying to refine a research question.
Yeah.
Something very specific.
So you need to produce a question, in a way.
You need to, and it needs to have some urgency. So I often say something like, you know, if there's nothing at stake, if you don't have a question that needs to be answered, then forget it, you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you also don't want to answer the question. If you answer the question, then there's no point in the research. So you're trying to sort of hold open some space between posing a question, an urgent question, and then also trying not to answer the question in a straightforward way, but to take some detour, I guess, through the process of research. But then in psychoanalysis, in a clinical practice, I would say, I would like to say, I never ask questions.
Okay.
Yeah, or I would try
so
to restrain.
So is your personal principle, or is basically the kind of ethic of the in your field, in the psychoanalysts, that you are, I mean, is it you are more like an individual principle, like not asking the question for the patients, or is the basically the ethic of the field?
Of the practice.
Practices.
Yeah, I would say the latter. I mean, in a way, there is an ethics to not asking questions that has something to do with identifying a question as a demand, actually, but just dressed up as a certain kind of openness. So if you step away from that, then what happens, I guess, is you invite a kind of situation where the patient free associates to an unasked question. So the, there might be a general question like, in what way do you suffer? Or what brings you here? That might be a sort of an unasked question that frames the entire encounter. But then within that, that question doesn't need to be posed. It just is implicit in the setting in which, in the face of not asking that question of what do you suffer, then there's a chance to associate to your own thoughts. And I guess as an analyst, I might share something of what goes on in my mind in relation to something that's being said, but not in terms of a question. So in a way, the two practices, research that tries to sort of ask an urgent question whilst holding open an answer, you know, not to answer, and psychoanalysis as a kind of deliberate stepping aside from asking questions.
Yeah.
But I think it raises a question about aesthetics then. You know, what is it, the aesthetics? That might be something to do with ethics, but what is the aesthetics of asking questions?
I think like the you know, your experiences as a psychoanalyst for me is super interesting, because it's raised the maybe the kind of certain approach. If we are thinking about the aesthetic of question, and then how we understand the aesthetic of non-questioning. So in which situation that we are probably that we could really build up the relation without questions. And so I was thinking actually maybe two situations maybe can like bring up into maybe related to this concern. One is about it reminds me there is this Chinese ancient poet whose name is Xu Yuan, who lived in the 4th century BC, and he committed suicide because he wanted to prove that he's innocent. And he's a kind of loyalty to the country. So basically, there is this festival called there is a specific festival actually in order to memorial him. So he had a very important piece, poet piece. It's called the Heavenly Question. So basically, ask like more than maybe 170 questions to the sky, heaven. So the question actually covers all the maybe the confusion or curiosity of from the universe to the social system and to the individual life. So I think it's interesting for me because you address a question to the sky and then you do wear that the sky never gives the answer.
Like a second.
So, yeah, so so that actually becomes a very poetic expression of like to a, I think it's just kind of search for the meaning of life. And then another situation that actually we have been talking about from the beginning, that you know when you are in the, when you really love people and then you probably try not somehow, you know, question or, you know, it's more like you accept whatever. Right? So, if you...
Olivia's laughing.
If you love your...
Whatever.
If you love your cats, I mean...
Yeah.
So, then what you can do, you try to understand, try to feel, and so the communication actually is a rather goes diverse way that beyond the searching for the meaning from others, because you can sense the life, you know, how that you're going to live with others. So, and the question becomes a little bit too efficient.
So we seem
so
to,
you would
yeah.
rather take time to, to leave the space.
Yeah.
Right? So, so just something coming to my mind.
But it takes us back to what Xavier was saying to us at the beginning. His question to us was, you know, what's it like to fall in love? And it seems that we're circling around a question about whether questions have something to do with love. And and it put me in mind of another psychoanalyst, Wilfred Bion, the English psychoanalyst, who spoke about three psychic functions: love, hate, and knowledge. And knowledge, or knowing, or understanding, comes about through this peculiar process. He says, he makes a distinction between thoughts and thinking. And thoughts are like sort of undigested experience. And thinking is brought on in order to deal with thoughts. And thoughts occur because of frustration, especially the frustration of what he calls the no breast, so the absent mother. So the absent mother causes a kind of frustration, which is experienced as a kind of thought, but an undigestible thought. And actually, partly the role of the mother or carer or father, whoever it is to try to not answer the question, where are you, but to digest the frustration in such a way as they can give back an experience that allows the infant to think its own thoughts. So what it gets back is the sort of apparatus for thinking, which is then can be mobilized to deal with things that we call love and hate, for example. So knowledge or knowing or understanding has a particular relation to, we could say, a kind of loving other, if we want to call the maternal some kind of presence like a loving other, that does something a bit like digestion almost, in which these undigestible thoughts, frustrated experiences, can be mobilized into something called thinking.
So there is a quite like distinction between the thoughts and the thinking, where that how you turn the thoughts into the thinking is really the process that you try to make alive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which has something to do with the capacity, I suppose, for one to experience frustration in relation to a loving other. So just thinking about your question, what is it like to fall in love? Well, to have an experience called falling in love might have needed in the first place some kind of experience in which frustration can be tolerated, the absence of the breast, the no breast, the problem of absence as a relation that then can bring about the process we call thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so maybe I have a very quick reaction to the this maternal experiences, because mm-hmm. I think, you know, talking about the question, also there is another question about, you know, how if we are facing to the silence, where that we, because we're not only addressing the question, you know, between human being, but also the question between human and nature, where the nature never answers. And then we always, you know, take the metaphor that saying the earth is the mother.
Mm.
And so how that you try to, in order to understand more about the meaning of life, but try less of a produce the knowledge of life, where that you really, you know, live with this silence. And so is it related to what you are saying, also this torrents and the huge kind of openness and acceptation of nurture us to be the being where that you can go further. So
yeah, I mean, I guess I would think about it as a more active process than the silence.
Mm-hmm.
So something about what can be tolerated or born, if you like, of experience.
Mm-hmm.
May require something more like a form of active processing on behalf of the other. So maybe this is also what you're alluding to when you talk about the earth,
mm-hmm.
something
mm-hmm.
that is fundamentally alive.
Yeah. Did this answer your question?
No.
Not falling. Not fully.
Yeah.
Okay. We try again in the next session, yeah?
I think it seems we have lots of questions need to open up. So I will go there to open the first page, if I'm allowed.
Yeah.
Yeah.